I recently remarked that there are 2 days that I prefer not to be preaching. The first is Christ the King, and the second is Trinity Sunday, which is funny, I think, because I sort of think there should be a third. I struggle with these 2 Sundays because, unlike all the rest, they don't begin with the story. Right? They aren't rooted in a narrative or really in the gospel at all. They are, at best, reflections on our theology and speak to how we have come to understand God and what is going on in the world. Right? As we better know the Missio Dei, the mission of God, and seek to realize it. Stories, though, that's what we do. Christian theology, it seems, has often hurt people and destroyed communities when it's just the theology. The certainty of our belief in objective and doctrinal statements have caused deep division and broken communities, but stories change lives. This week, as we've been going through the book of Acts for our Bible study, and the previous weeks as I have been reflecting on it for our worship, I've noticed something I never gave much attention to before. And I noticed how Peter and Philip and Stephen and Saul proclaim the good news in Acts. It's a lot like that story from the road to Emmaus at the end of Luke. And each time, they don't just talk about Jesus in an abstract sense. And they certainly don't use some Trinitarian formula they learned in school. They each tell a story. Really, they tell either the big story or the shorter story. Right? The big story is about God's work in the world, right? From the creation and the calling of Abraham and the patriarchs, the rise of David and the faithlessness of Solomon and his successors, and then the redeeming through Jesus in the passion, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Now, the shorter version simply focuses on Jesus, right? Specifically, the crucifixion and resurrection. Now, these first followers of the way kept telling the story. They seemed to know that the story was important. Tell this story to people. That the story was what they were supposed to be sharing. So, why is it that all some of them share about Jesus is that he died and was resurrected? I can't remember when I learned anything about our faith, really. It just sort of came over the years. It seems as if it were always there. We went to church every Sunday, of course. And I was the kind of kid who often read comics in the back on the left side, about two-thirds of the way back, right about there. Or we would sit in the balcony and we would fold up paper airplanes that would be ready to launch after everyone cleared out. And even a couple of times, I took excursions up to the front pew because I knew nobody would sit there. It was always going to be open. I remember church potlucks on Wednesday nights in Lent and our rogation and blessing of the animals day we would do at the end of spring, actually. I remember being both fawned over at coffee hour and scolded, neither of which ever felt earned. And as I got older, I remember the hostility of church meetings, the pessimism of a church without any kids, because apparently I didn't count, and all the people who would come to our front door looking for help. And sometimes I'd even accompany my dad to the hospital for visits, and I'd have this strange sense that I shouldn't be there. It's too intimate. They're too vulnerable. And yet they were always happy to have me, or could do a good job of pretending I wasn't there. All this I learned about us, right? About church. And somewhere I picked up the other stuff, right? I picked up the passion, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, right? That was omnipresent. That's everywhere here. And yet all the rest of the story, that was all a blur. Some unknown sequence of events, which clearly paled in comparison to these much more important events, apparently. At least that's what I assumed. So as a teenager, I felt ignorant. I mean, I knew these big things, I suppose. I certainly could have said the very things that Peter and Philip preach in Acts. But I knew that wasn't everything, because I was already asking my dad, if Jesus' birth and death are what's important, why is he important? Couldn't we just as easily be worshiping a Brian or a Biff? And why wasn't the baby Jesus crucified? If those events are what matter, why separate 30 years between the incarnation and the crucifixion? And why don't we ever celebrate what he did in his life? Our stories, how we share the good news, are full of milestones. We talk about the milestones in our lives, those big life events, and we know that this, our greater story, is full of milestones and life events. But we don't have a feast day for the feeding of the 5,000 or the healing of the demoniac. We don't celebrate feasts for the most iconic teachings of Jesus, like the parables of the Good Samaritan and prodigal sons, or the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And we certainly have not solemnized his most troubling teachings, such as how we are to sell all of our stuff, give the money to the poor, and share all things in common. Rules, doctrine, even the traditional theology we espouse, all of that stuff is debatable and difficult. It's far more divisive and far from telling the whole truth of the Missio Dei than the telling of a story like Jesus told, like those first followers of the way told, like we tell one another. So they told stories. They started with Jesus when he was alive, started talking about him, about the miracles, the wonders, the teachings. And in those days after the resurrection, they found themselves telling stories of this prophet, this Messiah, who was tried and executed, and yet God raised him from the dead. And then the story began to change again. In Acts, we have a story of a new gospel, a post-Christ gospel, a new form of revelation gospel. And we discover that the real protagonist of the good news is not just Jesus, but it's more like these people. The people who hear his voice and follow him. So in this new gospel, the second act, we get a new event with these people. We should not see this, then, as a supplement or subordinate event to the primary event of Jesus. This is a truly new event in the coming of the Spirit, because the story is not about these two as persons in relationship with God. The story is these people. It's about how they and we receive God into our midst, and how we share that grace with one another. And we're shown throughout our history, in our scripture, both Hebrew and Greek, and in our communities, that it all starts with story. Now, my story is full of faith moments which I don't feel are completely captured in conversations about the Trinity. Stories of a gift of cereal on my doorstep and presents throughout Advent. My story involves being raised by a church full of grandmothers rather than youth group fueled by DC Talk or Toby Mac. Our story, like the story of faithful throughout history, is formed through lives of faith, lives which give us limitless opportunities to spy the possible and inspire hope in others. Lives of vibrant living and connected by faith, living and dancing in new understanding and ever-changing and evolving relationship. We are all dancing in this world, aren't we? And you and I can choose to only dance when we're alone, maybe. You in your home, me in my home, in our private dance parties, maybe in the living room, maybe when we're getting dressed, singing in the shower. Or we can dance together, right? Learning how each of us dance, right? Learning each other's style and timing. And then breaking in with other dancers, seeing how they dance, learning how to dance with them. And when we do, it's because the song comes on, our song, our jam shows up, and we're like, it is time for us to dance. This is ours. Right? And we dance together and we feel alive. We are offered this opportunity to live and breathe and move together as partners and co-conspirators in the Missio Dei, and our dance together can change the world in a new event. A new event inspired by God. A new revelation. A new changing of the game. Now, of course, to many, what I've just described is actually a vision of the Trinity, of God in three dancing together, loving and serving with mutuality and without hierarchy, a vision of the metaphysics of the world which matches the vision of God has for us in the world, a vision of God and the world together, what the Greeks call perichoresis. Ultimately, then, we are challenged by our faith to match how we encounter our world with what we believe it to be about. Not as necessarily through rules or in light of some hierarchical vision of purity, but so that we may do on earth as God is in heaven. That our relationships, our church structures, and all the opportunities of the faith are embodied and made whole. That we are one with God and all creation. Alone and together, may we remember, may we praise, and may we dance. Amen.